DVC Sue Harrison has been hard at work with the postgraduate task team, managing communications with the external donors, funders, research funders. So she will speak on research and postgraduate issues. There's several questions that have come in that regard. Even now we notice them, and she might address some of them in her input. Sue, over to you.
Thank you, Hetty. So I'd also like to take the opportunity to share the many things going on at UCT during lockdown in those parts of our academic project which are centered on research and internationalization postgrad study. As my colleagues have said, these are certainly challenging times, but it's very inspiring to be part of them and to be able to in partly drive new initiatives and innovations that will take us to a better place post-COVID. That said, we've also got quite a number of daunting challenges to get past. So on the postgrad side, the same as the undergrad program, we've taken UCT's taught postgrad programs online. And I'd like to thank our capable, innovative and dedicated academic staff. There's some programs which can't go online, taught programs, those with a lot of practical work, for instance, in the schools or those in the performing arts. And each of these has been identified and we're planning a route forward with them. And as with the undergrad program, our calendars have shifted. I noted a question on being able to register for the follow-on degree if the dates for completion of the prior degree are only in early 2021. We're all together in this, and so we'll need to be adapting to keep the academic program in place so that students can progress. And similarly, we have been in discussion with the NRF on the awarding of bursaries for postgrad students if the results come out later. So each of these things is being worked through. And as with the teaching online task team, we have a postgrad online task team very aware that there are different issues between undergrad and postgrad systems in this space. So we're dealing with aspects of our postgrad study and integrating all the good initiatives from the TOT. These include things like shared information and resources, ensuring that our students have connectivity, planning interventions. We've also looked to ensure an integrated chain to assist students with non-academic needs through linking the course conveners or supervisors with the faculty contact person for vulnerable postgrads with the UCT CAS referral network. And I say this specifically here because in the postgrad space, the contact points of supervisors and course conveners are much more distributed. And in fact, it's not only those who will pick up students who are having non-academic difficulties. So if you have students in that space, this is a good route to find help for them. And the CAS referral system works very well and works for both postgrad and undergrad students. In our postgrad research programs, lab and studio-based students have had to reorder their work to be able to complete desktop work at the moment. All students are having to cope with working in a very different environment, and many are missing their research and knowledge commons and their daily interactions with fellow researchers. We're fully aware that not all students are managing to stay as productive as we may wish, and here the supervisor-student relationship is really a key one. It's challenging and time-consuming, but it really does make a difference to our students. We're obviously as keen as supervisors for research students to be able to progress in their work in labs and studios, to generate new knowledge, to fly UCT's flag high and to graduate. But we need to work, as our COO has mentioned already, within the national regulations and to plan responsibly for the return to research. The institutional planning is underway and we will get down to the granular level of planning and we will work with this in a way that we will serve us all well. We obviously will need to take into account the alterations in submission dates and the fact that some students who we would have planned to finish this year will not. And we've been working on this for several weeks now. We are lucky to be a university which has very good governance processes, but this does mean that approvals of alterations and things which have financial impact do take a bit of time, and we will share them with you as soon as possible. One of the things which is in many people's minds is the securing of student bursary extensions to cover the period of delay, and this is a key challenge. We're in discussion with the big funders, for instance, NRF and a number of the other funders, But it is worth noting that about a third of our postgrad students are funded from research funds, and here a solution is going to be needed and isn't in place yet. I would encourage those who have students funded by the NRF to please encourage them actively to apply for extension funding. The NRF is aware that this is needed. The applications will need to go in. And just as I end here, I'd really like to thank a number of sets of people who have been hugely instrumental in keeping our postgrad programs and students on track. There are the people in the faculties, the supervisors, the course conveners, the faculty admin people, and there's also the postgrad office, the SILT and ICTS academic development program, the research office for their communication, and IARPO. Really great work done, and we appreciate the extra time. On international space, I'm going to say little other than to say, much of this has been covered in the students in general, but to say there are questions about visas and visas expiring. And I'd like to note that there is a waiver, people whose visas expire will not be in a negative position while Home Affairs is closed, and they will be dealt with when they'll be renewed when Home Affairs reopens. So there's no stress needed here. If I move to the research space now, we're all working remotely, admin, technical and academic alike, except for a small team of critical COVID researchers and a very few projects where the risk to the patients involved in the studies and the negative effects on them by stopping the research would have outweighed the COVID risks. We've got our small team on campus looking after critical facilities. We have a fully resourced virtual library, and they're providing access to additional online resources through their excellent negotiations with libraries worldwide. I'd really like to take this opportunity to thank the library staff. They've been extremely innovative at this time to support our students and researchers alike. Our research office, contracts office, research finance are all supporting our research initiatives actively, and the research hub and research announcement are working to keep us up to date. Researchers are busy. From my perspective, I see a huge amount of academic writing and desktop research going on where it can. We're also aware that many of our academics are completely immersed in online teaching and in the demands of home life. One of the sad things we're seeing coming out in the literature is how the outputs of women researchers versus male researchers is being hit at the moment, and we hope that we'll be able to correct that again moving forward. It's a result of the home life demands. We do have challenges, and planning around these is my current focus, challenges in the research space. If we look at the research contract signed and the research cost recovery coming in over the past couple of months, it is down compared to last year. And so it signals that we are going to have to work aggressively to keep our research funding healthy. And obviously the delayed research implies that there's a delay on research delivery and all its consequences around pushing projects out and delaying the inflow of research funding. And this supports our students and our soft-funded researchers, our contracts and our outputs. So we're going to need to be very proactive about handling this here. We have a task team working on understanding and mitigating the consequences of our research enterprise, focused particularly on external funded research in general and on soft funded researchers in particular. Soft funded researchers are hugely important to UCT. They contribute a large part of our research excellence, and they're particularly vulnerable at this time. UCT's employer of choice policy holds here too, and so we are working. We have work to do on how we mitigate the risks while upholding that policy. While handling this, UCT researchers are also responding to the many issues to be addressed in terms of research in our new world. The VC referred in her opening to the great work being done by our researchers in the medical space, and this extends to social economic impact, the ways we're communicating, the ways we're tracking COVID, et cetera. This moment in my mind is a critical one to think through the key research foci for the future and how this will impact UCT's research and allow UCT's research to impact our society. As I mentioned earlier, and in the minds of many is the return to research in the labs and studios. It's high in everybody's mind. Reena spoke about our phased return to work and our need to plan this holistically within the governmental regulations and in a socially responsive way. We are entering a key planning phase in this now, although when exactly the dates are not clear. We'll do this in a way that allows us to integrate from the institutional level right down into the granular faculty and departmental level. We at the moment see all labs around the world grappling with this as we are. It certainly will not be business as normal and there will be new norms, but I'm sure we'll all embrace it because we understand that disruptions are where innovation comes from. Thank you.
There are questions from researchers who are aware, as we all know, other researchers are on campus who are doing on COVID-19, and others are saying, but why can't we be allowed to come back? And I want you to know that this is an important question to the executive. We spent time talking about it, and Professor Sue Harrison has made strong points on it, and I'm gonna give her a chance to talk about that, but also talk about the work with donors, with external funders, the NRS and other donors in this case, rolling funds to 2021-2022, Sue, whether there's been any agreements in that space and any other questions that you might have picked up, Sue, I'd really appreciate it. Over to you.
Thanks, Vice Chancellor. So we are now looking as to how we're going to do the phased return to the laboratories, and there are and the question is what comes next. There is a lot of discussion going on in the clinical space, especially around the TB HIV research, which relates so strongly to COVID, and requests for research that are being looked at through a team in the health sciences, but they'll have to be superimposed on our phased return to work. Because alongside returning researchers to the lab, we need to return sufficient support staff to the environment so that we can have bathrooms cleaned and waste removed and so on. And so this makes it into a space that has to be very well planned. We will not only bring researchers back into the health sciences, but we will bring them back across campus in this phased approach with good planning, so that we know that we can handle the social distancing, the rotating through laboratories or whatever else is going to be required to do it. And we will need to plan this with key members in the faculties and key members in the departments to achieve it. So the process since we moved from stage 5 lockdown to stage 4 lockdown has been, as Reena has spoken about, needing to get the institutional plan in place, so that we know how we're going to deal with PPE, how we're going to deal with the potential of an infection arising, et cetera. And with that in place, we can now begin to look at the planning of the phased return to research. I note in the questions that people are worried that we're talking only about our postgrad student researchers, but obviously we are also looking at the return of our staff. We will look at the return of our staff research staff up front of our research students, because we need to stabilize the laboratories and make sure they're ready for the students. And we'll put the postdoc grouping in with alongside the staff. Thank you for the question around the ethics clearance. The Faculty of Health Sciences has worked hard with the HREC process to allow ethics clearance to be fairly smooth around COVID-related research. And I note that the way that is happening is in a refinement again, and I hope we'll be able to communicate on that further. It's really important for us to not let ethics clearance lead to long delays, but at the same time, we need to make sure we've got it right, so that we know exactly that we've got that side right. So thanks for the question, and it will be in our sights even further. And then there were questions around funding. So on the NRF side quickly, the NRF is allowing us to move on motivation between budget categories. The travel budgets will be returned to the NRF, and they're going to use that money for extension funding for our students for next year. And with respect to carry forwards, they are entertaining them. They will have to be motivated on a project basis. And the research office will reissue its communication around that, so that we're all fully on top of it. So we did have it in a research announcement. We'll put it back there. On other funders, the contracts office has been doing a great job at looking with each funder as research is delayed, how the funder will work with this, whether they'll give no cost extensions, whether they will allow extra money to be, whether they'll provide extra money to support the salaries of staff who can't do the work now and will need to do it later, whether they'll allow budgets to be moved between categories, etc. So we have a lot of information on this, and we're now trying to at the granular level, we are looking at the funds, the researchers, the salary funds for researchers, and trying to map this all together so that we can understand the points of risk, and we can also understand, we can also look for mitigations. The ways to mitigate this will need to come partly out of the research space, and partly we know we'll need to look at it as a university. The other question I did note, and it's not research, it's about postgrads, but I'd just like to emphasize that the data provision that the VC spoke about right at the beginning has been organized for undergraduate students, postgrad students, and postdoctoral researchers. And so just to let you know that that has the postgrads and postdocs have been catered for here. And in fact, the laptop project in the same way.